Good evening. For those of you that may not know me, my name is Rod Smith. I attend the La Ronger, Louisiana congregation. My sentiment tonight, I guess, is following along with Jeremiah the prophet, who said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And I'm thankful tonight that God has given us another opportunity to make our calling and election sure. It is God's intent tonight that every single one of us could have a testimony in the end that it is well with my soul. And I can't think of any other questions besides the ones that are behind me that are more poignant and that matter more. They've been there for a long time, ever since I can remember. I must die, but when? I must meet God, but how? And I will live in eternity, but where? Did you know tonight that the Lord has an earnest desire that every single person here tonight, regardless of your background, that you can have a testimony without a shadow of a doubt that it is well with your soul? I have a message tonight that is of most importance, and I think that it is a message that, please don't leave halfway through. It's one of those messages you need to hear the whole thing. So don't hear half of it and leave and assume you heard the whole message. I'd like to turn to the book of Micah tonight, and Micah is kind of hard to find. It's kind of stuck between Jonah and Nahum, and that may not help much either because they're about two or three pages, but it's right at the end of the Old Testament. I'd like to write the subject on the board. I've written God's desire. I'd like to read in the sixth chapter of Micah. And if you'll bear with me, I have a few verses that I want to read to help set the foundation of the burden that I have tonight. In the sixth chapter of Micah and the sixth verse, Micah said, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Did you notice that the writer asks the question? He said, "Shall I come?" It was in the form of a question. He wasn't making a statement. It was a question. How do I come before the Lord? If I contemplate coming before God the Creator, how do you come before God? And so he asked the question, "Shall I come with these sacrifices? Will the Lord be pleased with these types of burnt offerings?" But wasn't this writer of the Old Testament? Wasn't he acquainted with the law? Wasn't the law given by God? And didn't God say, "Here are the sacrifices to bring to me"? Yet, Listen to Jeremiah in the 6th chapter. In Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, and the 20th verse. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Why not? What was the problem? Why were they even asking these types of questions? Why did the Lord then respond and say, to what purpose are you coming to me with these types of sacrifices? Why the pushback? All right, let's look in Isaiah. In Isaiah, the 1st chapter and the 11th verse, notice these are all different writers of the Old Testament. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Well, did God want them to stop offering sacrifices? Was he just done with the sacrifice business? Is that why that we're reading these sorts of things in the Old Testament? No, it wasn't that he wanted them to stop following the law. It was that something like 700 years before Christ, he was communicating to them the very essence of what he wanted more than anything else from us. He wants our hearts. He wants your heart more than anything else. That's what he wants. He wants our lives. He wants the fullness of our hearts. He wants us to believe into him. He wants us to internalize who he is in a way that it becomes who we are, so that it then manifests itself externally. But he wants to work from the inside. He wants to do a heart work. He wants something more than just what looks right on the outside. He wants more than sacrifices that are given and then you go live the rest of your life until it's time for the next sacrifice to be given. God is interested in your heart. God wants your heart more than he wants anything else from us. He went on and he said, wash you in the 16th verse, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. This is our life. This is day to day. We give ourselves to this. That's what our life becomes about. Not about me, not about what my agenda is in this life. But Lord, what would you have me to do for you? Lord, I want to give you my heart. 19th verse, if you be willing, and if you be obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Not just obedience. The Lord tonight wants willing obedience. It's one thing to be obedient. It's much, much different to be willingly obedient. I don't want to just do time because I have to. I don't want it to be just because God is God and I'm human and I'm going to meet him and he's the judge and he decides whether I go to heaven or hell. And so begrudgingly, I'm obedient. The Lord is coming back for a willingly obedient people. And I want that to be a testimony of my life. I want to be willingly obedient. I remember when I was maybe 4 years old, give or take a year. I wasn't in school yet. And we went to the store. It was just me and my mom. And I wanted to push the cart. And so I went to get the cart, and she said, "No, why don't you let me push the cart today?" And I was obedient. She pushed the cart, but I grumbled and I complained about it. And she said, "Rodney," she said, "you know, it would make me so happy, if when I ask you to do something, you would say, 'Okay, Mom, that's what I'll do.'" She said, "That would make Mommy so happy." And I pondered on that, and I wondered, why would that make her so happy? She can do what she wants anyway. She's bigger than I am at that time. And there wasn't anything I could say, and I was obedient. I stepped back, and she pushed the cart, but I mumbled and complained. And it wasn't very long after we came back to the store, and I decided I was going to ask to push the cart again. So I said, I'd like to push the cart. And she said, "No, why don't you let me push the cart?" And the light went on. And I thought, you know, I don't understand, and I'm not making this up. I have a very vivid memory of this. And I wondered, why would that make her so happy if I willingly was obedient? Because I was still thinking about the last time. And so not because I was willingly obedient in my heart, but I decided to do an experiment. And so I said, "Sure, Mom, that's perfectly fine. You push the cart, maybe I can push the cart another time." And I have never seen such joy on anyone's face. And I didn't understand it completely, and I don't know that I repeated that experiment very quickly after that, but I never forgot it. 45 to 50 years later, I never forgot that there was a difference between obedience and willingly being obedient. Did you know that God wants a willingly obedient people? God is not looking for people that are willing to just do what He says and offer the sacrifices that He said needed to be offered, and to live according to whatever commandments we might be able to put our finger on that are specific to us, and we say, "Well, we're doing it." The Lord is a God that looks in our hearts, and He's looking in your heart tonight. And He knows whether you're being obedient or whether you are being willingly obedient. There's a big difference. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Now back to Micah, where we started. He asked the question, "How do I come before God? Shall I offer these types of sacrifices?" He was contemplating that. And he gets to the answer now in the 8th verse. "He hath showed thee." Here's the answer. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee." Here it is. Three things. But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Did you hear how he said this? He did not say to walk with thy God. He did not say to have mercy. He said, love mercy. He said, don't just walk with God, but walk humbly with God. And I believe that encapsulates that word humble. It takes in, Lord, you are God. You are the created. I'm the creator. I'm the created. Lord, I'm in great need. I am undone. There is no way, Lord, that I can make it to heaven without your mercy. Lord, I am desperate for your blood on my life. I can't live good enough for you to check off a list that's however long and say, you qualified. I cannot qualify based on my life to be able to sit at the table of Jesus Christ. The only way I can make it in is if the blood of Jesus covers my sins. And the only way that Jesus' blood is going to cover my sins is if I follow Him in an humble manner. And that if I learn in my heart that not only does God want me to be merciful to other people, but that I would love mercy. That is a heart issue. That is not a transaction that just takes place. You're forgiven. You can go on your way. Hold it no more. It is that you love mercy. It's a heart issue. And those things then color doing justly. You're doing justly. You're doing right because that's what you want to do. That's what's in your heart. You're following after God. You want to do what God wants you to do. That's why you're doing right. That's why you're doing justly. That's why you're living in a way that demonstrates righteousness and godliness. Not because you have to, but because you want to. And God knows whether you're doing it because you have to or because that's what you want to do. God wants your whole heart. God is looking for an undivided heart. He wants us to be able to live our lives where we turn our eyes away from ourselves and what we want and begin to look on the needs of others and the work of God and the place that He wants us to fill and putting Him first above all else. He wants our lives. He wants our hearts. God tonight is not looking for a religious sect with a form only. God is not interested in us being a body of people where just everything looks cookie cutter exactly right, and that's as far as it goes. He's not just looking for a highly religious people. He is looking for a people who have given their hearts to Him in an unbridled, complete manner. The Lord is coming back for a people who are consecrated, committed, devoted, set apart, not unto man, but unto God. And God knows whether or not we are set apart unto man first and unto God second, or if we are most concerned about living for Him more than anything else in life. God knows that. He knows my heart. And He is coming back for a people that is a holy people. He's coming back for a people that demonstrate holiness by their commitment, their consecration, their dedication, their devotion, and who they are set apart to. And if we are not set apart unto God, we're not going to be able to say it as well with my soul. Who are we set apart to tonight? Who are you set apart to? What's most important in your life? Take heed unto yourselves and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And one of the things we covet more than anything else is our own way. Take heed unto yourselves and beware of covetousness. Take heed unto yourselves and beware that you don't covet having your own way more than anything else. Because in the end, a man's life is not going to consist in the abundance of the things which he possesseth in this life. All that is going to matter when God comes back and when He knocks on your heart's door and when He says it's your turn at a time of His choosing, not my choosing, not your choosing, When he comes back and we are weighed in the balances, and our heart is put into the balance to discover whether or not our whole heart is there, because he knows our heart. And he wants to know, in the balance, where is your heart? Have you given me your whole heart? Does it weigh out like it ought to weigh out? He's going to know. And it's going to mean everything at the end of the way when God comes back and there's no more opportunity for any more change, no more repentance, no more prayers, no more setting aside things in my life that the Spirit of God has dealt with me about. And I always had many reasons. We always have reasons. We have reasons to justify all of the things that we want in our life. Well, it's not that bad. It's not that far off. It's not technically wrong. The Bible doesn't exactly say you shouldn't do this. Well, this is kind of inconsistent over here. Listen, God's coming back for a people whose heart is wholly set on Him. And He knows whether or not it's wholly set on Him. God is coming back for more than a tree that just merely has fruit attached to it. God wants us to be a tree that bears fruit. Please hear my burden tonight. I can have fruit that I did not bear. God wants a people. He is coming back for a people that bear fruit. Fruit that comes from within. Fruit that originates from the very root of your life. Where you are tapped into the life source of Jesus Christ. But it is possible for us to demonstrate fruit that does not come from within. God does not want an apple tree just because there are apples that are zip tied to the tree. That's not an apple tree. You know what zip ties are? You know those nylon things? It has a little ratchet pin in the receiver and a little teeth on the other, and you put them in there. Consider. You can take whatever tree, you could make that an apple tree if you'd like to make it look like one, only it'll never really be an apple tree. If somebody comes up with a bunch of buckets of apples and says, these apples right here, this is the fruit right here that God requires of you, you need to put it on. Okay, and if you don't, you're not going to be one of God's people. This is a requirement to get into heaven. And you want to get into heaven, you don't want to miss it. And so you have buckets of apples and you have plastic bags full of zip ties. And you take your drill motor out and you drill a hole through the apple and you slip the zip tie through the apple and you hang the apple onto the tree and zip it tight. Well, that's only one apple. It needs to look like an apple tree. And so we begin to take apple after apple and we zip tie them to the tree around the poison oak and around the thorns and around the fruit that is not apple tree fruit. But when we get done, there's apples on the tree. But it doesn't make an apple tree. It's a form. I can point to the apples and say, oh, I'm an apple tree. But what about the person who wants to come taste and see? Heard about those apples. Had a longing in their heart to get a hold of something that was real because they felt a longing. Because they weren't satisfied. And so they came to the apple tree. And when the first sign of a problem was they tried to pick some fruit and it started to kind of tore apart because, well, the zip tie starts to tear through the apple and all of a sudden there's worms and bugs crawling out of the hole that you cord drill through it. And it's starting to discolor and it doesn't smell very good. The taste and see experience is not a very good experience. Because it's not a real apple tree. It has apples zip tied to it. They didn't come from within. Saints of God, it is not a very good representation of Jesus Christ. If all we have are things zip tied to our lives, but they didn't come from within. The scriptures say that Jesus wants us to bear fruit and bear more fruit. And those that don't bear fruit, that in the end they'll be taken away and burned because they're not good for anything. He said nothing about trees that had fruit attached, but he talked about bearing fruit. Are you bearing fruit tonight? Are you bearing fruit? Or do you just have some fruit attached that may give you a false sense of spiritual security? Jesus knows the difference, and he's coming back. Every one of us are going to be weighed in the balance. Where is your heart tonight? The Lord didn't have much use for the Pharisees, but they had fruit attached. But he said, inwardly, they were like dead man's bones. That's it. That's all they were worth. The fruit wasn't worth anything. Those whited sepulchers weren't worth a whole lot. I want to have more on hand than the Pharisee. I want to have more on hand than a profession with my lips. I want to have more on hand that might cause other people to accept me. But Jesus Christ doesn't accept me. I've got to have more on hand than that. Jesus said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." He wants a tree that bears fruit on its own because of what comes from within. Listen, I know that sometimes we do things with good intentions. And sometimes we hear about what the fruit of righteousness looks like and we endeavor to adopt it. That's good. It's a good start. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you tonight, in the fear of the Lord, there is no shortcut for developing your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to have a personal relationship that goes farther than the things that other people expect of you. You're going to have something that is within, that is on fire, that is not dead. You're going to have some oil on hand. And if we don't do that, if all we have is our experience is primarily based on, well, that's how the old timers did it, and that's what I'm doing now, and it's the old timers might have been bearing fruit. But if you're going to do it, you need to be bearing the same fruit they were bearing. In other words, it comes from within. It's not enough to just mimic and copy behaviors. But we as human beings, we like tangible things. We like to be able to put our eyes on things and feel a sense of security that we have done something that now helps us be successful and right before God in His eyes. Because eternity is a serious thing. And I don't think anybody here tonight wants to go to hell. But hell is a reality. And it's uncomfortable for us to think about hell for ourselves. It's uncomfortable to think about the things in our own lives that could cause us to go to hell. And so it's much easier to have things that we can point to that give us a sense of security spiritually when we're dying within. When we're not alive. When the fruit that's on our tree is it's not being born within. It's mostly coming from buckets that other men set in front of us and say, here, this is what you need to do. Tonight, I want this message to be plain and simple and very specific, because that's where we live. And so I was thinking tonight of some examples of good things that we might do that appear that would cause us to be in alignment with God, yet might not be a full indicator of our heart. And so I want to write some of them on the board. I can be a very faithful churchgoer. Come to church when no one else comes to church. I'm at church. I'm sitting in the pew. I give liberally. I'm always ready to help when there's a work day. I look just right. I dress perfectly. I have knowledge of truth. That's good. I condemn wrong. A lot of times in others. I go to church. I give. I'm at the work days. Can't fault me for how I dress. I have knowledge of the truth. I'm right there to bring condemnation on those things that I see that are wrong. So this wouldn't be the time to leave. So what are we saying? Should we stop coming to church? Should we stop giving? Does God not want us to be good stewards and fill the place that we need to fill on work days? Is He concerned about how we present ourselves to the world? Does He want us to have a strong sense of right and wrong that's based on Scriptures? Does He want us to have the knowledge of truth? Yes, He wants us to have all of these things. We should not stop doing those things. No, categorically not. Do the things that you know you are supposed to do. The Bible teaches us all of those things. They're good. They're right. We should be doing those things. But understand that when there is an opportunity for organic growth from inside, that when you recognize there's a need in your heart, these things will not save you. I want to repeat that. Going to church, giving, being at work day, dressing just right, having a knowledge of the truth, condemning wrong in others will not save you. You can do all of those things and be lost in eternity. God is looking for a people that have convictions from the heart. God is looking for a people who are bearing fruit that come from Spirit-inspired convictions. Young people, God wants you to get a hold of convictions for yourself. He doesn't want the apples that are hanging from your tree to just be from mom and dad. He doesn't want it just to be because of the peer pressure that you feel at church. God wants every one of us to get a hold of a relationship with Jesus Christ so that we have convictions from God above that result in fruit that comes out. This will manifest itself as fruit that will come from those that have received God-given convictions. And you do this because you want to. That is where true peace and fulfillment is found. Anywhere else, you will not find true peace. You will not find true fulfillment. But if you get to the place where you have convictions from God, the fruit will come on its own. You won't have to try to fabricate it. You won't have to try to figure out exactly how do I need to put this on to please everybody else. And that becomes more consuming than anything else in your life. And I want to say something else, that if this is all we have, we will find that we are lacking in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. We will find that those things are lacking. Those are issues of the heart. And they're really hard to zip tie on your life. It's hard to zip tie meekness on. False meekness, yeah, but people usually can see right through that. Gentleness in the time of trouble, hard to zip tie that one on. True love that other people can feel. Genuine love that comes from deep within in our hearts. That's hard to fabricate. I was talking to somebody one time, and they didn't know I was a preacher, and they were talking about preachers, a preacher. And I always find it interesting to hear people talk about preachers. It's interesting to hear what they say, but it often is sad. And this individual was talking about a holiness preacher, not among our group, but had a lot of the same standards that we have. And she said, "That is the proudest man I have ever met." Hard to zip tie fruit of the Spirit on your life. But with God-given convictions, when we give Him our heart, when we get to the place where we say, "Lord, it's going to be about a whole lot more than that. Lord, I surrender. I give up my way. Lord, I want Your way more than any other way. Lord, help me have convictions that are deep in my heart, that I feel and that I want to live by, and that result in fruit of the Spirit." When we live that way, you don't have to spend your time trying to figure out what to zip tie on. You don't have to spend your time worrying so much about what other people are thinking about and having that dictate how you live your lives. And young people, I want to say this. When you get to this place, you will not find yourself in an experience where you feel like that our body of people, that it's all about things. That hurts me. It hurts me. I heard someone one time was talking about, "Why do you do that?" They were distraught about it. It's because I want to do that. Because that's what's inside me. That's what's happened in my heart. You don't have to live your life where you're wishing, "Why do I have to do this? And why couldn't it be a little bit different way? And couldn't we fudge a little bit over here? And why do they have to teach this? And well, I guess I have to do that if I want to be accepted." And then you go through life and you're fixated on things. And you never find the peace of God in your heart. Young people, I know there are people here tonight. I know there are some here tonight. But no doubt you don't have the peace in your experience. It's just a struggle to try to live according to the things. Listen, categorically, no, don't stop doing these things. But get an experience for yourself. Turn your focus to your heart. Examine your heart. Are you still holding on to a piece of your heart? God wants us to get to the place where we fully, completely, truly surrender. We're all in. We're not partway in. We're all in. Look, here's the thing. God didn't need these people to offer these sacrifices so that He could claim the sacrifices as His own. They were already His. And He for sure didn't need them burned. They were His already. Yes, they were the old covenant dispensation. They had a place. They served to help teach people about their own need. And they pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ. And they represented something very special. But what we read about the Lord saying, I'm tired of it. I'm full of it. That's not what I want. And the prophets in their heart, they're saying, well, what can we bring you? There's something that seems inadequate about these sacrifices. It's not doing it. These things right here are sacrifices sometimes. They represent sacrifice. But we can do all these things and still feel a vacancy and a void. And these men of old were feeling that, Lord, well, what do you require? What is it all about? He wants your heart. That's what He wants. And when He has your heart, this will not be a struggle for you. This will be because you want to, not because you have to. Tonight, let's look inward. Examine your heart. What is the origin of your fruit? Where did it come from? Are you bearing fruit, or are you just showing fruit that you have? Be watchful that your focus is not primarily based on what other people think. While God is pushed off to the side almost as an afterthought, that is not who we're about, young people. We are not a religious sect that is fixated on things. Yes, there are always people. There will always be people in every age where that is what they're fixated on. And yes, sometimes they have loud voices. That is not what the Church of God is made of. The Church of God is made up of a committed, consecrated, devoted, set apart people unto God that live a holy life because that is how they want to live, because they are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And if the enemy can have his way, he will get us to fixate so much on that, we will end up with a bankrupt, empty, unsatisfied experience and haul that through the majority of our life till we figure out that is not doing the trick. I need something more than that. I need Jesus Christ. Does God have your heart, or does He just have your attention? There's a difference. He's got He has my attention because He's God. And I'm going to meet Him at the judgment. I'm going to live in eternity. So are you. He has my attention because of that. But that will not get me to heaven. God wants your heart tonight. And it's only when He has your heart can He meet the needs of your heart. It's not until He has your heart that He's able to satisfy the longing that you have in your heart. Tonight I want more than a form. I want to have something that bears fruit. I want to experience the joy of salvation. Don't you want to enjoy the joys of salvation? I want to enjoy the joys of salvation. I want to feel peace in my heart. And tonight, if part of your heart is being reserved for yourself, consider letting go. Do you remember those combination locks? You know the kind that have the dials? And you have to get exactly the right combination before the lock opens. Remember these? This is a combination lock. We cannot unlock the joys of salvation until each one of these dials, H-E-A-R-T, you have to have all of your heart given to the Lord before the lock is open and the freedom that God wants us to experience is unleashed. Yes, the Lord will draw nigh unto us as we draw nigh unto Him. And I know we live a life where we learn, and it's a journey. But I also want to say this, folks. If you're reserving one of these dials for yourself, you're okay with the H and the E and the A, but this R right here, it's a piece of your heart that you just don't know how you can give up. Give it up. Let it go. It's the only thing that is separating you from opening and unlocking what God wants to do for you. And you don't unlock it by adding more to the list. You unlock it by giving Jesus Christ your heart, your whole heart. How is the status of your willingness tonight? Are you just obedient or are you willing? How do you feel about the fruit of the Spirit? Your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, your gentleness, your goodness, your temperance? You feel okay about those things? Do you have conviction tonight? Are you living your life because you have personal convictions about how you're living? Or are you just living because that's what you've been told to strap on? Tonight, God has an experience for us. And He is gently bidding us tonight to give Him our heart. Because one of these days, we too will be weighed in the balance. And I don't want the testimony of my life in the end to be that I was weighed in the balance. And I was found wanting because I didn't have my whole heart given to the Lord. Jesus Christ gently bids us come because He wants us to be able to drink from the water of life. That is where abundant life can be found. Tonight, let us search and try our ways. And turn again unto God. Amen.